Y'all hear me okay?
Okay,
thank you. My clean date's December the 18th, 1989, and Ken is my brother. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is that he talked about his recovery date being in September of 87, and I always laugh because it's always seemed like everything we've done has been like a couple of years, like I've always been like that couple of years behind or whatever. You know, it's just like always the little sister kind of thing, right? But see, part of my story is part of Ken's story, because we both worked for our father, here's Ken, like him and I would be partying together, we did all this stuff, and when he got clean, I felt like I had lost my best friend. So then here I go through this period of time and watch this person grow as an individual. Now that's where service work started applying in my own life, and seeing somebody else that's applying the principles to their life, making true decisions based on an honest, open mind. And that's what brought me here. It was the attraction. He could have talked to me all he wanted. Virginia, you need to go to a meeting. Virginia, no, it wasn't any of that. It was just simply living a life of recovery. So when the time came that I did finally get to my own personal bottom, there I was, doing my own thing. And it's amazing to me when I look back at the earlier years of our recovery. I can talk about being in ashtrays. Shoot, they don't even have an ashtray in a meeting, right? You know, there's no way, but that's what we did. And it's just the way that the life went. But, you know, I was one of the people that actually, I liked the fact that we would stand at the opening of a door and hug people when they walked in. Like, I don't know about some of the meetings in other areas, but I know that up in the area, we're just south of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And for us, it was really important that we had at least two people at the door. It was always like one of those things. The secretary was doing this, and this person was doing that. And it's like everybody had their positions, and including a hugger, you know, and they were there. And it was so important to me in the beginning, because Ken kind of touched on that. I felt isolated in myself. I came around Narcotics Anonymous for almost a full year before I simply, and I really didn't come around Narcotics Anonymous. That's a terrible thing to say, but it was like, it took me a little while going to a meeting here, a meeting there, a meeting here, until I got into enough pain. And at one point, I found myself face down on my basement floor, weeping, because I didn't know what to do with myself, and felt so much pain. Now, here I am, clean, laying on the basement floor, crying. And this isn't a nice clean basement floor either, in some pretty little house. It's an old house, and, you know, in a city where it's damp, and I have never been known to do my laundry very well. So there I am laying on laundry, dirty laundry. And I got to a place that I really felt I was at a cornerstone. Either I was going to use or I was going to do something else. Okay, what is it? So what was the examples given to me? And it was go to a meeting. So I go to a meeting, and that's where, like, that day, I go to a meeting, and I hear a message about doing, like, and this is where service comes in. These people who've been here for a long time, you know, they were there for, like, 2 or 3 years by then. It felt like a long time, you know, because it wasn't a lot of folks. And they talked about the message of having a sponsor. Here I am, like, a year clean. I don't even have a sponsor, right? And so I go up to Queen Narcotics Anonymous at the time, and said that I need, because we would offer sponsorship in our meeting, and said that I'd like to have a sponsor. And she's really who I wanted, but you know how we are. So anyway, I was given a sponsor. And that opened a door for me to recognize how important it was that in these areas that I was not accepted. Like, I wasn't accepted when I made mistakes. I wasn't accepted whenever I made bad choices in my own family life or my own community, if you want to call it that. But here is a person, he's telling me she loves me no matter what. She was saying, you just keep on coming on in here. And then telling me, get to a meeting, get 90 meetings in 90 days. I'm a year clean, and I'm like, there's not 90 meetings. There's not a meeting every day in this city, you know? There were. Once I started going, it's amazing how that happened. So, you know, and right away, like within a couple of years' time, you know, of course, you're in a home group. I'm being very active in a home group, serving that area of it. And I've always been that person that would be right there. Like, I was there all the time. So I started recognizing people. And I knew if they hadn't been there before, correct? So I go, and I was that person that would say, oh, welcome, you know. Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. Welcome to, even if it wasn't my home group, you know, I would try to go across the room. I never wanted anybody to come into the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous and feel like they didn't belong. And I was so blessed later in years. This is like those things that come back. Not that it's about me. It really isn't. But I've had people come back and say, Virginia, you know what? If you had not, you know, it was because of you that I kept coming back. Because you said, welcome. You told me to keep coming back. And I really believed you wanted me to. I did. Man, woman, child, I didn't care. And it was just that sense of giving of myself enough that I wanted people to draw people in. Like, I hated that cliquish kind of thing. Like, I remember going to this one home group. It was Ken's home group at the time. There was like a whole group of these women, and they're all playing with each other's hair, talking to each other, you know. And I sat in the back, and this was before I was really active in recovery, but I wanted to be a part of. So what I found is that when I got active, I thought, okay, I'm told to be the change. So that's when I started reaching out more and saying, hey, come on over, have a seat. You know, and how many people I became friends with, some women that I would really never really thought I'd ever want to be a friend with ended up being my best friends. And I don't know if any of y'all can relate to that. Like somebody coming up and you go, I really don't want to know you, motherfucker. And they end up being like one of your closest friends for years. But it's the way this program works. When we open ourselves up and allow ourselves to be open to whatever God's going to put in front of us. Ken and I were both in GSRs of our own home groups for a while. And we decided after a couple of meetings that we would, on our way to a meeting, you know what we're going to do? We're going to try to instigate change. We are going to talk about having fun at our area service, because everybody called it area circus. And so we decided that we would be part of the change and that we would be looking forward to it. Hey, I can't wait to get to area service. We really did this stuff for a while. Mm-hmm. And within like 3 months, it's like this whole bunch of people, it was like this whole different attitude of like, we're glad to be here. It's amazing how one bad apple can like turn everybody, drudgery. No, you know, it's amazing how just one or two people with an expression of like, we're here to do something, you know, something good for giving back. And we're bringing information from our little town or our little grouping of people. And I have to tell you, like, I have kids. At that time, when I got clean, my kids were 7 and 9. Now, of course, my kids are 34 and 36 now, right? But I was blessed because I got in recovery at that time, which was really important that I come to find out. And because, see, even a home group level or an area service level, I was learning things about living life, my own personal life. And I started to apply those things, like Kennedy had applied them, and it became an attraction even to my children. My children would even make decisions just a little bit different, I think, than even some other kids. And looking back as adults to, as adults now to their childhood, they can see that. Like, they learned about anonymity early on, because I was dragging their asses to a meeting with me, you know, but, and they had to learn. Like, if they saw their school teacher, you don't talk about however you met this person. And they didn't. Mm-hmm. And when the time came that my son had to walk into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, it was amazing that the things that I watched him walk through, which is a whole other gambit in itself. You know, we talk about our children. How many of us, you know, have kids that end up using, and we have to go, what do we do? You know, hey, it was different when it was me. Now it's my child. So as a service, what am I going to do for my child? I can't, you know, as a parent, I want to, like, grab my child and keep them in the house and ground them forever like I was taught. And instead, I had to do it the way NA taught me. And I had to allow him to hit his bottom. And, you know, make sure there were consequences enough that that would come. But see, that's giving back. That's like, I've learned those things from the people ahead of me by doing these things in recovery, and it's come back then to me, and then gone back out. And to see that applied even in the in our home life, like even with our children and how they reflect on different people, how they look people in the eye. Like Ken and I talked about that on the way over. Narcotics Anonymous, we learn to like look at each other. Like we'll be walking down, like here we are at a convention area and we're all walking around, we look, are you one of us? You know, but and you can tell us because we look each other in the eye. You know, no matter what background we seem to come from, we all look at each other and it's like, we know who we are. And we say hi. And that's a service. You know, we say hi. That's all. That's all we have to say. And it's like, because the world, all we want is to belong. And so, you know, here we are in this process and living our lives as best we can. Now, the only thing I want to add is how important it is. I don't know what's happened along in some of the ways. Maybe I've not been a good enough example. But I've come across so many people that don't realize the importance of area service and the services that go up and what they even do. Like they donate money to their home group. Why should we donate money to a service beyond us and then et cetera, et cetera? And then, you know, and the realization of like helping them learn and by example, that those are the things that keep us alive worldwide. And just being able to continue that life in what we do and how important it is. I think I'm done. I appreciate your attention. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Sharon.